Today's scripture is taken from John chapter 20, verses 11 through 18, and it reads, "But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping?' She said to them, 'They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him.' When she said this, she turned around and she saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?' Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, 'Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him and I will take him away.' Jesus said to her, 'Mary.' She turned and said to him in Hebrew, 'Rabboni,' which means teacher. Jesus said to her, 'Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.' Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, 'I have seen the Lord,' and she told them that he had said these things to her." This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, I ask that you guide my words, that they speak your truth and your wisdom, and that you know the reflections we have on our hearts, and that these reflections be acceptable in your sight, for Lord, you are our creator, our redeemer, our sustainer, and have the power and glory forever. Amen. So today is Easter Sunday, where we celebrate together the risen Christ, a day to remember that Christ resurrected, a gift from God for us, the Lamb of God given. And as we continue to celebrate the risen Christ, I want us to reflect on that first Easter Sunday morning when Mary Magdalene appeared before the empty tomb and think about what she experienced and what she rose through. But first, I want to share with you something I learned in seminary, and I think I've spoken about this in the past in a previous sermon, but I'd like to share it again this morning. When I'm in seminary, I'm often asked, what is the most important thing you will learn? And one of the most important things I learned is a saying about human beings and how we all behave or the qualities that we have. This saying is by two sociologists, Henry Murray and Clyde Cleckholm, and it comes in three parts. The first part is the saying that we are all alike. The second part is the saying that we are like some others. And the third part is saying we are like no others. The first part, meaning we are all alike. We all have human qualities that we all share. We all breathe. Let's take a deep breath in and a deep breath out. We all breathe. We all have blood flowing through our veins. We were all born and we will all pass away. We have all these similarities in common. But we are also like some others. Some of us are female, so raise your hand if you are female, okay? Some of us are male, so raise your hand if you are male. Okay. Some of us are right-handed. Raise your hand if you are right-handed. Okay. And some of us are left-handed. Raise your hand if you are left-handed. Okay, a couple. See these very smart left-handed people, right? Some of us have black hair. Some of us have no hair, and no need to raise your hand for that. We are like some others. But we are also like no others. God makes us and creates us and makes each and every one of us unique in certain ways. We have specific qualities that no one else has, or very few rare people have. We have specific experiences that no others have. This morning I shared at the Easter sunrise service that I myself was born just 10 days after my grandfather on my mother's side died. I never knew this grandfather because he died just 10 days before I was born. And I've not yet met another person who had a grandparent die so soon before their birth. We are like no other. And in this morning's scripture passage, we see the person of Mary Magdalene, a faithful disciple, follower of Jesus. And we see how she herself is like some others, like all others, but her own experience with Jesus at the tomb is like no other. And we see in this morning's passage, she is like all others. There are people who, when Jesus was killed, they were in mourning. These are people who witnesses Jesus' arrest. These are people who had faithfully followed him. He was their teacher. He was their leader. He was their preacher. They had seen the miracles he performed. They had heard about all the wonderful things he had did. They had followed him faithfully. And then for them to see Jesus arrested, Jesus to be put on trial, Jesus to be hung up on the cross with nails placed in each hand, a crown of thorns on his head, and nails at his feet. To see Jesus take his last breath, you can imagine the sorrow, the sadness, what all of these people who were so faithful to Jesus went through. They had an experience like all others. And in this time of mourning, Mary and a few disciples go to the tomb. I encourage you, as always, to read this morning scripture passage for reflection during this next week, but also read verses 1 through 10 as well, because you will see that it is not just Mary who goes to the tomb, but two other disciples with her. They say most likely the disciples went two men because they were the ones who would be needed to move away the stone that was in front of the tomb. And remember, this tomb was a place that a special follower had offered up to Pilate. And Pilate said, yes, we will put Jesus in this tomb, but we will guard the tomb, and we will place a large stone in front of the tomb so that no one may go to the body. So these disciples are there then to help remove the stone. But you can imagine Mary and the disciples' shock when they see the stone has been pushed aside and the tomb is empty. The disciples are fearful. They run away. But Mary does not run away. She stays at the tomb. She is like some others in her faithfulness. She knows, as a woman, it is her job of those times to prepare the body for burial. It was a tradition that after the body has been passed, the women would take the body, lovingly cleanse the body to dry off the blood, to use special oils to clean the dirt off the body, to wrap the body lovingly in linen cloth. Now, the body of Jesus, when it was taken down from the cross on that Friday, it was the season of Passover, and no work was to be done. So they kept his body specifically in this tomb for 3 days until it could be prepared at the end of Passover. So then Mary is ready to do her job like some of the other women who are faithful to their traditions. And Mary is ready then to do that tradition. But here is where Mary is like no other in her experience at the tomb. Because we know as she is weeping, there are two angels there. They are sitting where the body of Jesus had once been lying, one at the head and one at the feet. And they say to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She says to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she says this, she turns around, and Jesus is standing there, but yet she does not know that it is Jesus next to her. Mary is like some others. She's letting her depression, her grief, her numbness not let her see that Jesus is right there before her. And we must think about our own lives and our own faith story. Are we sometimes like Mary, where we are so overcome with worry, with sadness, with grief or depression, that we become numb and do not act, that we do not see that Jesus is right there available to help us out? Mary is like some others, and sometimes we are like that as well if we are honest about our own faith journey. Sometimes when we are so fearful, we forget to even turn to the Lord. Sometimes when we are so worried, we forget to put these things into God's hands. And sometimes when we are so sad, we forget that the light of Jesus Christ is there to shine upon us, to make the darkness go away. Mary is like some others in that she still does not see Jesus standing right there before her. Throughout your lives, you need to know that Jesus Christ has always been by your side, always offering a hand out to you. A person that needs help needs to know that Jesus is right there. For then Jesus says to Mary in verse 15 from this morning scripture passage, "Woman, why are you weeping? For whom are you looking?" And Mary, she thinks he's just the gardener. So she says to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, please tell me where you have laid him, and I myself will take him away." She is still thinking about her responsibilities to the physical body of Jesus. She's not yet let him go to be the resurrected Christ that he was called to be. And we ourselves must learn to do that. Sometimes we get so tied up in the idea of physical, material things, But you know you cannot walk into a store, and I often say this in some of my sermons, you can't walk into Target and say, oh, excuse me, you know how all the Target workers have the red shirts? You can't walk into someone with the red shirt who works at Target and say, oh, excuse me, what aisle can I find Jesus Christ in? And you can't then go to the grocery store and be at the cash register and ask the person at the grocery store, oh, how much is Jesus today? Is he on sale by any chance? That is a material thing that sometimes we look for. We look for that material thing. But we need to realize that Jesus Christ is a presence with us, a presence that can give us peace, a presence that can give us comfort. I myself know there are times when I have felt really low, when I have felt depressed, and even as a youth, I will share later an experience, that I know that it was Jesus who took me out of that depression. It was Jesus who gave me guidance and a path. It was Jesus who helped me make the right decisions. But Mary still is so deep in her physical self, looking for the physical body of Jesus and her obligation to wrap his body and prepare it for the correct burial, that she does not see Jesus standing right before her. And we know that Jesus spoke to his disciples, as I mentioned last Sunday, often telling about his end that was to come and also about his resurrection as well. In Matthew 16, verse 21, Jesus began to say, to show his disciples, to tell about going to Jerusalem, to say he was to undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and scribes, be killed, and on the third day be raised. And also in Mark 9, verse 31, Jesus says to his disciples, the Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands. They will kill him, and 3 days after being killed, he will rise again. And even in Luke 9, verse 22, Jesus says again to his disciples, the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and scribes, and be killed on the third day and be raised. They say that in each of these Gospels, Jesus told the disciples at least 3 times of what was to happen to him. And the disciples, we know, would talk to the other disciples and the other followers, so Mary herself must have known this prophecy from Jesus Christ himself of his resurrection. But yet she is still not willing to let go. And Jesus knows this, so he calls her by name and he says to her at the tomb, Mary. And she then turns and she says to him in Hebrew, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus says to her, do not hold on to me. Yes, I was your teacher. Yes, I was your leader. Yes, I was this great preacher. But do not hold on to me that way. Instead, look at me a different way. Look at me as the Messiah, the Savior, the Prince of Peace, the Lamb of God, the sacrifice for the sins of the people. So he says to her, do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, then to my God and your God. Mary did this. She went and announced to the disciples that I have seen the Lord and told them the things that the Lord had said to her. Mary is like no other, that it was only she who Jesus first appeared to at the empty tomb. She was the one who had that experience. And she did what she was called to do, to talk about the resurrected Christ, to let go of that physical body and instead celebrate the resurrected Christ, the miracle of Christ being raised from the dead. She is using her own unique faith story to then share the good news with others and tell of Christ's life for her. And that is what we must do as well. We each have our own faith story, our own experience of Christ. I myself was very depressed. I shared this morning at the Easter sunrise service when I was 14 years old. I loved being a 13-year-old. I think it was 7th grade. I had my home that I had lived in since I was 6 years old. I had all these great friends. I was popular in school. I was on ASB. I was on the middle school tennis team. I was very active in school. I even had a crush on a boy named Danny Locke. You know, all these great things that happened to a 13-year-old middle schooler. And family, this is parents, this is what you get to get ready for when your kids get older. But then my mom's work when I was 14 transferred her to a different city. So we moved to a new home. I was suddenly in a new school. All the straight A's I had gotten in the previous year, I was not getting in this new school. I didn't have friends. I wanted to only talk to my old friends from the old school, and this is before Facebook and before cell phones, so it's harder to keep in touch. I was so depressed. My grades went down. I wasn't eating. I was fighting constantly with my parents. I wasn't even talking to my sister, who was loving her new school and the new home because she had her own room. I hated my life. I was so depressed. And then when I was 14, during this time of depression, I even at times felt like I wanted to take my life away. We hear often about these school shootings and what is happening to the shooters themselves, and they might have gone through mental depression. And so we want to pray for all the students in school now. And I know how I was at that age and just really feeling depressed. I truly understand now as an adult what it means to experience growing pains. And then I remember my friend when I was 14, he died in a skateboarding accident. He was riding his skateboard and his friend was on the bike and he was holding on to his friend's bike. And as his friend rounded a corner, he let go of the bike and he flew off his skateboard and my friend hit his head on the curb. And his parents didn't know, but he had a blood clot from that hit when his head hit the curb, and he died 2 days later. So when I was 14, I attended my friend's funeral service, and I remember being at that service and just crying and crying and crying. And other people were crying, of course, too, because they were crying for my friend who had died. We were at his funeral service. But I was selfish. I wasn't crying for my friend. I was crying for myself. I was crying because I saw these friends I had missed near me. I was crying because I hated school. I was crying because I was so upset at my parents. My tears were selfish tears. And even in the midst of that selfishness on my part, I felt a hand tap my shoulder and a voice saying, "Eva, things are going to be okay." And I looked around and I didn't see anyone touching my shoulder and I didn't see anyone leaning towards me to speak to me. So I thought, okay, maybe I just imagined it. But again, as I was crying, I again felt that hand on my shoulder and a voice saying to me, "Eva, things are going to be okay." And again, I looked around and no one was touching my shoulder and no one was leaning forward to speak to me. And then I looked forward in that church, and forward in front of me was the altar, and above the altar was the cross. And I just looked at that cross and saw a glow from that cross, and I knew then and there that it was Christ who was speaking to me. Christ telling me that it was going to be okay. A Christ giving a comforting hand on my shoulder. That was my own unique experience like no other. And right then and there, I committed myself as a 14-year-old to Christ, to know that He was my Savior, that He would bring me out of the darkness, to know that even when I was being so selfish, hating my parents, not making new friends at school, saying, "Oh, I'm not going to do well, I don't care about classes," even at the most selfish points in my life, Christ still reached out to me. And that is what Christ does for us. So we ourselves must have our own unique experience with Christ, so then we can go out into the world and say, "I have seen the Lord. I have experienced Christ, and this is the good news that I share with you." Yes, that He has resurrected and died for our sins so that we may have eternal life with God, but even more deeper, how Christ works in our own lives to share that story with others. So then that we can be like Mary, to go out to tell the world with great joy that "I have seen the Lord," and to spread the good news. Let us pray. Loving God, we come before You and hear the Easter message, but we know that the risen Christ is not just a day to celebrate once a year, but every Sunday. For we know how Christ works through us in our own lives, how we have our own unique experience like no other. We thank You, Lord, for the gift of life that You give us and the gift of eternal life through Your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray all these things in His name. Amen. We come now to our time of communion together, and as brothers and sisters of Christ, we remember the great act of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross for us, and we will wait till the communion words are pulled up. Hear these words of invitation that Christ invites to His table all who love Him, who earnestly repent of their sin, and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved You with our whole hearts.